You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Praying Toward Atlanta. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
When some people pray, they actually turn their bodies toward a city. Muslims, for one example, turn their bodies toward Mecca when they pray. In Rabbinic Judaism, for another example, the main prayer of the liturgy was said facing Jerusalem. Today I am asking Christians to orient your prayers toward the city of Atlanta. I'm not suggesting that you literally turn your bodies toward Atlanta. I am asking that when you come to God each day in your prayers, when you tell Him all that's on your mind, when you read and recall from His Word all the good that God has in mind for you, please turn the thoughts of your devotion also toward Atlanta. Atlanta is the site of the Olympic Games this summer. Stay with me, and you'll learn why orienting your prayer thoughts toward Atlanta is so important. Today is Pentecost. On Pentecost, we remember the first outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon the early church. God is a three-in-one God, a triune God, to use a churchy word. While there is only one God, this God has taught us in the Bible that there are three persons in God: the Father, the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. This Spirit is the center of attention today, Pentecost. The Spirit is at work in the world, drawing people to faith. That faith to which the Holy Spirit calls is not simply a generic faith in one God, however people might perceive that God to be in their own mind, but the Spirit is calling people to a very specific faith in God as God has revealed Himself in His Son, Jesus Christ. If that sounds mysterious and complicated, it is. What kind of God would God be if He were transparent and easy to understand? The triune God is majestic and mysterious, but not uncaring. God gives the Holy Spirit so that you and I can know His love and care for us. So Pentecost is a great day of praising God and praying for His Holy Spirit. The story of Pentecost and the first outpouring of God's Holy Spirit reads like this from Acts chapter 2. When Pentecost came, all the believers were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound came from the sky and filled the whole house where they were staying. Tongues that looked like fire appeared to them. The tongues arranged themselves so that one came to rest on each believer. All the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Devout Jewish men from every nation were living in Jerusalem. They gathered when they heard the wind. Each person was startled to recognize his own dialect when the disciples spoke. Stunned and amazed, the people in the crowd said, "All of these men who are speaking are Galileans. Why do we hear them speaking in our native dialects? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites. We are people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the country near Cyrene in Libya. We are Jewish people, converts to Judaism, and visitors from Rome, Crete, and Arabia. We hear these men in our own languages as they tell about the miracles that God has done." All of these devout men were stunned and puzzled. They asked each other, "What can this mean?" Others said jokingly, "They're drunk on sweet wine." They weren't drunk. Acts chapter 2 goes on to say that Peter stood up and pointed out that it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, too early to be drinking. What was happening, Peter said, was God pouring out His Holy Spirit to call people to faith in the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. After Peter's speech, Acts reports, the people heard this and they were deeply upset. They asked Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter answered them, "All of you must turn to God and change the way you think and act. And each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven. Then you will receive the Holy Spirit as a gift. This promise belongs to you and to your children and to everyone who is far away. It belongs to everyone who worships the Lord our God." Peter said much more to warn them. He urged, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted what Peter said were baptized. That day about 3,000 people were added to the group. 3,000 people! They were devout religious people, but they did not know the recent and very personal revelation of God's goodness in Jesus of Nazareth. They did not know that the Old Testament prophecies about the Messiah had been fulfilled in Jesus. But when Peter gave his speech about the life, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus, the Holy Spirit worked to lead 3,000 people to the true and only saving faith. Now a very practical question. You heard that those 3,000 people who heard Peter speak in Jerusalem had come from all over the Mediterranean world. How did they get to Jerusalem? How did they get to Jerusalem from their homes in Rome, Arabia, Cappadocia, and all the other places listed in Acts? The answer is that they traveled on Roman roads. If you remember studying ancient history, you remember that the Romans built an excellent system of roads. It was the Roman Empire's version of our modern interstate highway system. And when Pentecost was over and the 3,000 new Christians set out to return home, how did they go? Obviously, they traveled on the same system of Roman roads. I have in front of me a pamphlet from the International Network of Ministry Leaders and Sportpersons. Listen to this quotation from the pamphlet. "Just as the roads of Rome were utilized as bridges for the gospel, so in this era, sports provide unique intersections in the world for the witness to the love of Jesus Christ." I've heard Christians complain about the excessive attention that our society pays to sports. I've complained about that myself. But wait a minute. What an opportunity the world's preoccupation with sports gives us Christians for witness. Consider some numbers about the Olympic Games. The Games this summer will last 17 days from July 19th through August 4th. They will consist of 29 different sports. 10,000 athletes will come from 197 countries. There will be 15,000 journalists and 500,000 spectators from around the world. Through the media, there will be 3.5 billion people following the Games. The Games will be bringing people together. Just as the Roman road system brought people to Jerusalem to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and then many of the 3,000 converts traveled those same roads home and spread the story of the Savior throughout the Mediterranean world, so also the Olympic Games are bringing people from around the world to Atlanta, where Christians will share the story of the Savior. Churches in the Atlanta area, TV and radio ministries, Bible societies and other agencies have been preparing for a long time to tell the story to visitors in their own native languages. When that good news is told, we know the Holy Spirit of God is present and working to call and gather more people into the Holy Christian Church. And then, when the games are over, some of these athletes, families, journalists, and spectators will carry the gospel back to their homes. Doesn't that prospect excite you? You imagine how exciting it must have been when 3,000 people were brought to faith in Christ way back in Bible times? How exciting, then, are the prospects for the growth of God's kingdom this summer? So then, as you and I go to God in prayer for all the things that are on our minds, our anxieties, our families, our fears and conflicts, all the things we've talked about this month, let us also orient our thoughts toward the witness opportunities that will arise in Atlanta. Let us pray for the following. Let us pray that the games will be safe. We live in a time when the rule of law, and respect for the lives and property of others is not always accepted. Sometimes violent and terrorist acts are even done in the name of God. Let us pray that the games in Atlanta will be safe. O God, our Heavenly Father, you are a lover of peace and concord. We humbly pray that in your providence and love for humanity, you will thwart any plans for evil or violence in Atlanta and bring such sinful plans to naught. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us further pray for all those Christians who have had the foresight to see that the Olympics provide an opportunity for witness and who have put in long hours so that Christ may be shared. O God, our Heavenly Father, your word asks, how shall they hear without a preacher? We thank you for the thousands of Christian people who have been preparing for many months to share the story of Jesus in many languages with the athletes, families, journalists, and spectators who will be coming to Atlanta. Give these Christian witnesses continued vision, commitment, and strength for the sharing of faith. And may your Holy Spirit bless their efforts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us further pray that we all tell the story of Christ properly. Non-Christian groups and groups that falsely claim the name Christian will also be active. Therefore, let us pray that the Christ who is shared is the Christ of Scripture, a witness to our sin and our inability to please God by our own efforts, and best of all, a witness to the free forgiveness, help, and hope that God gives us through the true gospel of Jesus. O God, you want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Guide all people who speak about spiritual issues so that they speak the truths that come from your holy word and are consistent with the law, which shows us our sin, and the gospel, the good news of your gifts to us in Jesus Christ. We know that this prayer is in accordance with your will, for you sent your Son, you gave the Spirit, and you commissioned your church to witness so that all people might come to the knowledge of the truth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us finally pray that each one of us will have a greater vision for the worldwide mission of Christ. How many times don't we Christians get all bent out of shape about some small issue at our local church? How many times do we act as if Christianity couldn't possibly extend beyond our local church, our town, our race, our nation? Let us pray for minds and hearts that are thrilled by the worldwide advance of the gospel. When Charlotte Elliott wrote that marvelous hymn, Just As I Am, she passed along the comforting truth that God receives humble sinners just as we are. One of my problems, no doubt one of yours, one that increasingly afflicts us all, is that we forget. If we haven't written something down, we often forget to pray for something that is very important. I think it's important that we pray for the spread of the gospel. I think it's important that we orient our prayer thoughts toward Atlanta in the coming months. In order that you and I won't forget about that, why don't you give us a phone call? Ask for a free copy of today's message. If you'd like, you can ask for free copies of all my messages about prayer this month. You can then put these messages with your Bible and your devotional literature. Then you won't forget to include Atlanta with all the other important things that you take to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Our telephone number is 1-800-876-9880. We'll repeat that later in the program. Until we're together again, give yourself more and more to prayer. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.